Let us pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, King of kings and Lord of lords, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thankful that you have allowed us to gather together this morning to study a portion of your word. We recognize that the human mind is incapable of understanding anything that is spiritual apart from the ministry of God, the Holy Spirit. So it is our request that God, the Holy Spirit, the perfect communicator, will enable us to hear precisely what you have for us this morning. This is our request in Christ's name. Amen. We are still in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. We're going to go this morning from verses 13 through 16. First Corinthians 11, verses 3 through 16, although we are beginning at verse 13. It reads, "Judge for yourselves, is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it's a disgrace to him? But that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory, for long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God." Now let me begin by refreshing your mind. The message of this section of 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verses 3 through 16 that we have been considering, which is that men should not cover their head during prayer. And likewise women who wear their hair the way God has given it to them, but they should cover it if they cut or shave it. Now we have stated that expanding this message involves understanding three paths of knowledge the Holy Spirit through Apostle Paul wants us to have. The first part concerns the concept of hierarchy given in verses 3 through 10. The second involves the relationship between men and women, given in verses 11 and 12, from which we learn that there is equality in the standing of believers, male and female, before God in Christ Jesus, and that each contributes to the mission of the church of Christ in such a way not to disregard the order in God's creation of men and women. Now, the talk concerns lessons learned from nature, given in verses 13 through 15. A first lesson we consider is that wearing a long hair is a disgrace to a man, in that such a practice puts a man in a situation that he will be mistaken for a woman, and therefore he will be doing something that's unacceptable to others. He will put himself in a position that he will be thought of in a negative light as not respecting the generally accepted norm. Then, we digress to support our assertion that depending on the context, the same action may be interpreted differently in the scripture. I am saying that we have in the scripture situations where an action is considered a sin, but that same action is not considered a sin in another context. Now, our digression is because the wearing of long hair in a man is interpreted differently from the same wearing of long hair in a woman. Now it is with this different interpretation that we begin our study this morning. Now the Holy Spirit wants us to know that wearing long hair in a woman means something different from a man doing the same thing. That is introduced with the very first word of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15 when it says, but. Now the conjunction but is translated from a Greek conjunction that is used to connect one clause to another, either to express contrast or simple continuation. It is translated and when a simple connective is desired between clauses. When there is a perceived contrast between the two, it is then translated but. Now it may be translated now when it is either used to link narrative segments or to indicate a transition to something else. Of course, there are more usages of the particle, but in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15, it is used as a marker of contrast with the meaning but, to indicate that wearing of long hair by a woman has an opposite significance to that of a man wearing the same. Now, by the way, it is because our Greek word translated but in our verse that was the reason we argued that a Greek particle used in verse 14 that was not translated in the NIV that may be used as a marker of emphasis with the meaning indeed should be translated this way. On the other hand, now thus we say that the Greek particle used in verse 14 is used in such a way that it is paired with the Greek conjunction that begins verse 15, so that a pair leads to the structure of the two verses this way. We can say, as on the one hand, on the other hand. Hence, we know that verse 15 contrasts what is given in verse 14. Now the contrast between verses 14 and 15 is concerned with how one wears hair. In verse 14, a man wearing a long hair is interpreted negatively, but wearing the hair long is interpreted positively if it is done by a woman. It is this positive evaluation of a woman wearing long hair that is given in the clause of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15. Again, it reads that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory. Now, this clause admits that it is not a given that all women will wear their hair long, since some may not. Now, we said this because the word if is translated from a Greek conjunction that is used as a marker of condition with the implication of reduced probability. So the apostle used it to state what is generally accepted to occur, in that women will wear their hair long, although it is possible that some may not. Nonetheless, when what is generally expected to occur takes place, such occurrence is evaluated positively. But before we get to it, we should observe that the scripture does not say much positively about a woman's hair. Most of the references to women's hair are negatively. For example, a woman has to loosen her hair when she appears before a priest because her husband suspects her of adultery, as we read in Numbers chapter 5, verse 18. Numbers chapter 5, verse 18. Numbers, chapter 5, verse 18. Again, Numbers, chapter 5, verse 18 reads, after the priest has had a woman stand before the Lord, he shall loosen her hair and place in her hands the remainder offering, the grain offering for jealousy, while he himself holds the bitter water that brings a curse. Now the Hebrew is not clear as what exactly the priest should do to the woman's hair. That is the reason our English versions translate the verse differently. For example, the contemporary English version, instead of the verbal phrase of the NIV, losing her hair, this is the way it reads. Remove her veil. While the revised edition of the New American Bible reads this way. Uncover her head. Now regardless of how the Hebrew is translated, one thing is clear. It is that the woman is humiliated by something done to her hair. Now the same concept of humiliation of a woman by doing something to her hair is conveyed in the punishment that the Lord conveyed he will bring on the women of Jerusalem for their sinfulness, as we read in Isaiah chapter 3 verse 24. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 24. Isaiah chapter 3, verse 24. It reads, instead of fragrance, there will be a stench. Instead of a sash, a rope. Instead of well-dressed hair, baldness. Instead of fine clothing, sackcloth. Instead of beauty, branding. See that phrase, instead of well-dressed hair, baldness, indicates the judgment on the women of Jerusalem will be such that instead of beautifying themselves through the braiding of their hair or through some other careful styling of the hair, their hair will be shaved off. That's, again, that would lead to humiliation of the women. Now in the New Testament, the instruction is for believing women not to be so much occupied with beautifying their hair at the expense of their spiritual life, as that is what is implied in the instruction of 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 3. 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 3. It is, your beauty should not come from outward adornment, such as braided hair, and the wearing of gold jewelry, and fine clothes. See, the braided hair refers to the plaiting of the hair. That was an art which was very popular among Greek and Roman ladies, with the braided hair rising some inches above their head and often intertwined with chains of gold or strings of pearl. Now, what is clear though is that a woman's hair is part of her beauty, or how she beautifies herself. Now there's nothing wrong with a woman beautifying herself, but the emphasis is, as the Holy Spirit through Apostle Peter stated, that a believing lady should be more concerned with beautifying herself spiritually. That is, she should be more concerned with inner beauty than outer beauty, that is concerned with the styling of her hairdo, or making her hair whichever way she thinks is very beautiful to her. But the point, though, is that, ladies, that you should think more about your inner beauty than you are concerned with going to a beauty salon or a hairdresser to take care of your hair. Think more. Which is more important? Your soul or your hair? In any case, the positive evaluation of a woman having or wearing her hair long is given in the sentence of where we're starting in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15, where it says, it is her glory. It is her glory. Now, what does the apostle really mean by stating that a woman's hair is her glory? Now, to answer this question, we need to consider the word glory. It is translated from a Greek word, doxa, that may refer to the state of being magnificent, and so means splendor, greatness. So the word is used to describe the greatness or the splendor of the kingdom of this world that Satan offered to Jesus during his temptation of the Savior, as we read in Luke chapter 4, verse 6. 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 He reads, and he said to him, I will give you all the authority and splendor. That's a Greek word translated glory. Yes, splendor. For it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. Now the word may mean honor, prestige, as the Lord Jesus used it to describe a person who seeks his own honor or prestige, as stated in John chapter 7 verse 18. John chapter 7 verse 18. John chapter 7 verse 18. It is, he who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself. But he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There's nothing false about him. Now the word can mean the condition of being bright or shining. Hence means brightness, radiance. Now in a physical sense, it is used to describe the brightness of light that blinded the Apostle Paul when the Lord Jesus appeared to him on his way to Damascus to persecute the Christians or the church, as we read in Acts chapter 22, verse 11. Acts chapter 22, verse 11. Acts chapter 22, verse 11. It is, my companions led me by the hand into Damascus, because the brilliance of the light have blinded me. Here again the Greek word is translated brilliance. Now under this meaning of shining, we have the concept of reflection of something. So the word then may mean also praise, as it is used to describe what Apostle Paul said he was not looking from people, as we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. First Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 6. It is, we are not looking for praise, that's a Greek word, for praise from men, not from you or anyone else. As apostles of Christ, we could have been a burden to you. Now in our passage of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15, the word has the meaning of honor. Honor. That is, favorable reputation in contrast to shame. Now the interpretation then that the Greek word translated glory in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15 means honor. That is, favorable reputation in contrast to shame. That meaning enables us then to interpret what Apostle Paul meant when he said a woman's hair is her glory. He meant that a woman's hair brings her the honor that's expected to belong to a woman, because it is generally accepted that a woman's hair is part of her beauty. In effect, in contrast to a man who wears long hair, being viewed as not respecting the acceptable norm of men's hair being worn short, the woman who wears her hair long has the respect of the society in that she has conformed to what is expected of women. So again, we should remind you that what the Holy Spirit conveyed through Apostle Paul is simply that a woman who wears her hair the way the Lord has given it to her maintains part of her beauty. For a woman to cut her hair short is not in keeping with how the Lord created her. As we've already stated, for most part, there is usually a difference between men and women's hair, even if both along. Now we are saying that God created men and women differently, even in the matter of their hair, although sometimes it may not be easily detected if both let their hair grow without cutting it. Now, nonetheless, there is a difference between men and women's hair. Now, because there is something in creation that God intended so that men and women's hair are to be different. Most cultures consider the shaving of hair of a woman as abnormal. Most cultures. Hence, when a woman shaves her hair, in some cultures, it is usually a sign of mourning the loss of a husband. When she becomes widowed, that may be part of showing that she is now widowed. Now that aside, regardless of the type of hair on a woman's head, God's order in creation implies that men and women should wear their hair differently to differentiate them. Anyway, it is commendable for a woman to wear her hair as natural as the Lord had given it to her. You see, there are women that their hair will grow to a certain length and no more. Then such women should manage their hair in such a way to avoid cutting it short. Now, as we have stated previously, it does not mean that a woman should not trim her hair to get even edges, but that she should be careful not to cut her hair so it could be considered short when compared to how God has given it to her. Her hair remains that which beautifies her and distinguishes her from a man. It is this reality that is part of what it means that a woman's hair brings glory to her. Therefore, a woman should maintain her hair in such a way that she does not cut it short. Now, I can't say this is length, you cut it. No. God has given it to you a certain length. And that length needs to be maintained. Yeah, you can trim it off, because trimming doesn't mean that you are cutting it shorter than what you have. It's just a matter of making the edges look smooth. So it's up to the woman to recognize how God has given her hair and try to maintain the length that way. Now, Apostle Paul not only tells us that a woman's hair gives her honor in that it beautifies her and causes her to conform to the expected norm of her society for women's hair. But he goes on to state another important fact about the natural hair a woman receives from God. The fact the apostle gives is, in a sense, a reason or an explanation for her hair being her honor or glory. Now, we say this because the last clause of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15 begins in the NIV with the word for. Now, the word for is translated from a Greek word that may mean that, either as a marker of a narrative or discourse content, or as a marker of an explanation. It may be used as a marker of introducing direct discourse, in which case it is not to be translated into the English, but to be represented by quotation marks. Now, another usage of a Greek word is as a marker of cause or reason, so that it may be translated because or since or for. It is this latter usage that the word is used in our passage. In other words, the clause that begins with the word for in the NIV is to provide a reason a woman's hair is her honor associated with her beauty. Now, the translators of the Common English Bible are really explicit in their translation of this this clause, since they translated the second clause of verse 15 this way. This is the way Common English Bible reads. This is because her long hair is given to her for a covering. For a covering. Of course, the NIV reads, for long hair is given to her as a covering. Now, by the way, there's really no adjective long in the Greek used here. Since the word hair is translated from a Greek noun that means hair without any reference to length. However, because of the Greek verb used in verse 14 that means to wear long hair or to let one's hair grow long, and because of the context, the Greek noun is rendered long hair in our English versions. Again, the word long as an adjective does not appear in the Greek. Now, be that as it may, the apostle, in the last clause of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15, again reads, For long hair is given to her as a covering. That clause conveyed that God is the source of the long hair in a woman, given to her from birth. Now this is because of the word given. It's translated from a passive voice of a Greek verb that no doubt means to give in this passage. Now a passive voice is a grammatical voice that indicates that the subject is being acted upon, that is, the subject is the receiver of the verbal action. Now the agent that produces the action is not usually supplied, but implied or maybe determined from the context. Now in our clause, the implied agent is God, since He is the one responsible for the coming of a human being into the world. Now that aside, we contend then that it is implied that the long hair of a woman is given to her from birth. Now this is because the apostle used perfect tense in the Greek. Now unlike the English, where tense is associated with the time of action in relation to the time of the utterance, the Greek associates tense with the kind of action. Thus, a perfect tense in the Greek is a verb tense used by the writer to describe a completed verbal action that occurred in the past, but which produced a state of being or a result that exists in the present, usually in relation to the writer. Now the apostle was probably thinking of creation of women when God acted in such a way that a woman from then on would have a long hair. It is for this reason that we contend that a woman's long hair is given to her from birth. And then it starts growing, but it's given to her from birth. Now the apostle stated that the woman's hair is given to her as a covering. Now from a practical standpoint, now this phrase, as a covering, is one that should caution us about being judgmental about a woman and head covering. Now this is because the phrase is subject to two possible requirements about head covering. It could imply that a woman does not need a head covering in prayer, or that she must be covered. Either interpretation is implied. Now some believers judge others when their women wear head covering to be cautious, I mean when they're praying, and then vice versa, the women who do not wear are also judged by those who wear. So I'm saying that the verbal phrase should cause us to be very cautious how we evaluate head covering today. That aside, the question really is how to interpret the Greek phrase translated as a covering. Now many of our English versions translated the Greek phrase as for a covering. For a covering. Now the God's Word version uses the phrase in place of a covering in their translation of the Greek phrase, while the International Standard Version rendered the Greek phrase this way: as a substitute for coverings. In other words, that the hair is a substitute for covering. Well, now anyhow, the Greek phrase that we said, International Standard Version rendered as a substitute for her covering, is one way to deal with that Greek phrase. But before we get to the reason, though, for the difference in the translations of the Greek phrase that we have in our English versions, we should note, though, that although the International Version uses a plural coverings, because they say as a substitute for coverings. Now, they use the plural coverings. The Greek is in the singular, not in the plural, as reflected in majority of our English versions. So anyhow, the word covering is translated from a Greek word that appears twice in the Greek New Testament. In its other usage, beside our present verse, it means robe or cloak, as it is used to describe God's future action with the heavens in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12. Hebrews Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 12 reads, "You will roll them," then he refers to the heavens, "you will roll them up like a robe, like a garment. They will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." So here the word translated covering in 1 Corinthians 11:15 is here translated a robe. Now in our passage of 1 Corinthians 11:15, it simply means covering. That is, any man-made object for covering something else, especially use of clothing or for protection. In any case, the difference in our English versions, in their translation of the Greek phrase that the NIV translated as a covering, is because of that word "as" used in the NIV. Now that word "as" is translated from a Greek preposition "anti" or "anti" that has several meanings. The word may mean for, in behalf of someone, to indicate a process of intervention, as the word is used to indicate that Jesus Christ gave his life as a ransom for the elect, or to free them from sin, as we read in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. Matthew chapter 20, verse 28 reads, "Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Now the word may mean instead of, or in place of, to indicate that one person or a thing is or is to be replaced by another, as the word is used in the teaching of the Lord Jesus to encourage us to ask from our Heavenly Father things that are needed or that are needful, knowing that he will not give us anything that is not good for us, as we read in Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. Luke chapter 11, verse 11. He reads, "Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead?" Now the word may mean something like "in place of" or "for" or "as," to indicate that one thing is equivalent to another. As in the instruction of the Holy Spirit against repaying a person in the same way they have treated us. As we read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 15. It reads, "Make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong, but always try to be kind to each other and to everyone else." Here you say, you know, wrong for wrong. That is in place of wrong. Now the Greek preposition may mean "because of" or "for the purpose," to indicate the reason for something, as Apostle Paul used it to convey the reason unbelievers perish is that they rejected the truth of the gospel, as we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. Again, Second Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. It reads, "And in every sort of evil that deceives those who are perishing, they perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved." Now in our passage of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15, the Greek preposition is used to indicate that one thing is equivalent to another, so that it may be translated as we find in the NIV, or "for," as the majority of our English versions. Now regardless of which word is used, we should understand that the Greek phrase of 1 Corinthians 11 verse 15 translated in the NIV as follows, "as a covering," that means that a woman's long hair is equivalent to a cloth covering or veil. That's the point, that her long hair is equivalent to a cloth covering or a veil. Now the interpretation that a woman's long hair is equivalent to a covering has led to two implications. The first is that despite the hair being a covering, the woman should still wear a hair covering as per the apostle instruction in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 6. Thus, those who hold to this view, although reluctant to say so, really mean that women in the Church of Christ should wear head covering in worship. Now the second implication is that it is not required of a woman to have an additional covering on her head while she prays or prophesies in public worship of believers. Hence, the apostle in effect says to the Corinthians, once a woman wears her hair long, or should we say, according to the natural length of her hair, then she does not need additional head covering to satisfy the requirement for women to cover their head while praying or prophesying. Now, this view is rejected by some on the ground that if the apostle meant this, he should have said so directly. Now, in response to this objection, it is to be stated that the apostle was probably going along with those who insisted on head covering, so that in the end, he would say that although a head covering is needed, but God has already given that to a woman. In other words, he's going along with them. That's in a way to go along, drag them along until bam, he comes on and says, no, with all this, but this is what it's supposed to be. Anyway, of course, it is really worth noting that instruction of putting on a hair covering in 1 Corinthians 11 verse 6, where it says, she should cover her head, that is really given in the passive voice. That's very interesting. In the passive voice. Now, again, the passive voice means she, the woman be the receiver, not her. So there's then the implication that the woman will not be the active participant in the instruction because God had already done so for her. In other words, it's not telling the woman to cover her hair. She should be covered, or she should cover her head. But like I said, it is a passive voice, which means it has been done for her. See, the apostle used the passive voice in his command in this epistle quite often for instructions that the recipients will not carry out by himself. For example, the instruction of circumcision is given in the passive voice in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 18. Now we're arguing that yes, the apostle, he used certain kind of command with passive voice in certain actions that the participant, I mean the one who is going to receive the action, cannot be an active participant. So this idea of circumcision is one of the examples where he used a passive voice in giving his command. Here it says, 1 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 18, it reads, was a man already circumcised when he was called? In other words, was a man already circumcised when he was saved? He should not become uncircumcised. I explained to you when we studied this in long time what that means, how they try to cover up some part of the genitals. Now, so was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He should not be circumcised. Now, to be circumcised here is passive. The sentence, he should not be circumcised, is to be carried out on the person by another. In other words, the man is not going to circumcise himself. Somebody is going to do it. Yet, it is a command that seems to be like the man is going to do it. No. He becomes one who is passive and somebody will act upon him. Now, the form of the command that we have here in 1 Corinthians 7:18 is really similar to what we have in 1 Corinthians 11:5-6. So, it is likely that the Holy Spirit guided the apostle to write in such a way to hint at the fact that although a woman is required to cover her head, but indeed God has actually done it for her, so that all she has to do was to go along with the covering she already has, so long as she does not shave her head. It's already provided. So all she needs to do, go along with it. So, anyway, it is of the two interpretations, although a woman still has admitting that the hair is kind of covering, some say she still to cover it. Now, on the one that says the second one, no, since she has a covering, she don't need to cover it again. So, our thing is, in spite of all the two interpretation, it is the second interpretation that we believe the Holy Spirit meant for the apostle to give. That is, that a woman's God-given hair is her covering. So, that an additional covering is not necessary unless she shaves her hair. Otherwise, it's no longer necessary because she has a covering. When she wants to pray or prophesy, there's no other covering needed. Now, this explanation probably resolved the conflict that might have existed in the church in Corinth. Now, historical available information to us indicates that in the world of Corinth, that those who had head coverings were women of low status in the society. The wealthy women or the upper class women did not wear such head coverings. For if they did, the Holy Spirit, through Apostle Paul, would not have instructed believing women not to be carried away with their hairdo, as we read in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 9. But I think this is a good place to take a break, and after break, we'll continue.